A new study shows melting permafrost is changing the chemistry of the Yukon River, just one of many climate-related changes affecting the Yukon and beyond. KNBA's Jacqueline Estes has more.
The author of the study, hydrologist Ryan Tuohy with the USGS Alaska Climate Science Center, says researchers tested water samples collected from the Yukon and Tanana rivers over a period of 30 years. The results show that as upper layers of the permafrost freeze later and melt earlier in the year, groundwater percolates deeper into the soil and carries more materials into rivers.
Essentially, what we found is that we found a lot of the common minerals and some of the nutrients in the Yukon River and the Tanana River had greatly increased over those 30 years.
Calcium, magnesium, and sulfate levels were up. Increased weathering and erosion also released phosphorus, a key nutrient for plants and animals, which went up by as much as 200%. That may help fish populations as well as invasive species. None of these changes are harmful to humans, though as the trend continues, it may harm water quality. What happens to the Yukon, though, extends beyond Alaska's shores. Melting sea ice was once a major source of fresh water for the Arctic Ocean, but as the sea ice shrinks, Tuohy says six great Arctic rivers, including the Yukon, help make up for the loss of fresh water.
A lot of the change in the Arctic Ocean is driven by sea ice, but the rivers act kind of as another buffering capacity. And so if there's a big change in the sea ice, sometimes the rivers can kind of buffer those changes.
That's important because fresh and warmer water float while colder, saltier water sinks, actions that drive vast ocean currents. Still, it's hard to say exactly what changes will benefit people and the plants and prey they rely upon and which will make life more difficult. Etta Mutter is science director for the Yukon River Intertribal Watershed Council.
So it's very, very overwhelming, but yeah, very challenging at this point, because we all want to try to find kind of how it really impacts our communities and how we really plan for that and prepare for that. But it's very hard to do so, because at the moment we just don't really understand all the pieces.
One change that's already causing hardship, Mutter says, is the decline in the number of salmon returning to spawn in the Yukon River. For unknown reasons, Mutter says, too few fish reach the Yukon's headwaters in Canada, impacting tribes who relied on those salmon runs to put food on the table. Mutter says that's also affecting cultural practices that go with subsistence.
Some communities, some white nations, they're even now buying salmon from the Klinkenhaider tribes to maintain the traditional lifestyle and to show the kids how to do to carve the fish. And so it's been, it's definitely an impact, a cultural impact too.
The results of the multi-decade study of the Yukon River Basin were published in early December in Geophysical Research Letters. The USGS, Indigenous Observation Network, Pilot Station Tribal Council, and Yukon River Intertribal Watershed Council funded and cooperated in the project. I'm Jacqueline Estes.